Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live, another moment with a wonderful guest who has a story to tell and a love letter to write, and apparently has a very large feeling about gratitude, which is, after all, really what love letters are about at their core. They don't have to be just for romance, although that's wonderful, but any kind of gratitude expressed, any kind of I remember you, it doesn't even matter. Your truth put to paper, and that makes it a love letter. So I'm going to go to my guest, Michelle Silke, who is a neighbor and friend, and she does a variety of things, is a wonderful artist, and I'm going to go right to you.
Well, thank you.
So tell me, we were talking before about facing challenges, and I know that if I may just dive right in.
Go right ahead.
The challenge that you've faced with your husband's injury. Why don't you just talk about, well, first of all, let's say you have three children.
I have three girls.
You want to say their names?
Caitlin,
yes.
Kristen, and Candace.
Uh-huh. And Candace is a lot younger?
She's just turned 12,
mm-hmm.
and Kristen has just started high school. She's going to be 15 this month,
mm-hmm.
and Caitlin is at UCSB the first year.
Wow. Is she having a good time?
She's getting there.
Okay, good.
It's been difficult.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, talk about you and your life. And what it's like overcoming a difficulty. And if you don't mind, just telling what it is, because I think it'll be encouraging to people to hear about it.
Okay. It's been approximately, I'd say, like in 2005 is when it was. My husband was rear-ended. He had actually just bought a business from a friend and was doing really well with his business.
What was his business?
It was a handyman.
Oh, that's okay. It was
that's
that same
business. He purchased his handyman business, mm-hmm. and he was getting going, had great clients. It was looking wonderful. And one day he was rear-ended.
High speed?
No, it was not high speed at all, but the impact really destroyed the back of his truck. And we found out later that the truck was not designed to take the impact, so the passenger took the impact. The short story about that was he...
Was Carson the passenger?
The person in the cab.
Oh, okay,
in
yes,
the cab
yes.
Truck. So he received a brain injury.
Mm.
A thing about an injury that's internal like that is that people don't see anything wrong. You're not missing a limb. There's nothing.
How did you know then?
He couldn't speak.
Oh my goodness.
He was stuttering. He would start a sentence and be talking. For instance, I was going, what was I saying?
Oh, and that's not like him.
So no. And he had such bad headaches that it took him about an hour to get out of bed in the morning.
Oh.
And then it got to the point it was so bad that he was in bed for about a month. And then the kids, my babies, would run and get him an ice pack. Mm-hmm. And he would walk to the living room, sit down, and they'd bring him an ice pack. He could barely move. This went on for a long time. We couldn't find the right help because the doctors...
What's a long time?
He was injured in May, and we finally found a doctor who knew what was going on with him in December.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, everybody said that he was fine.
Oh, that's awful.
He couldn't... It was really bad.
I have a feeling everybody who is listening knows at some point or other what that's like when you know there's something wrong.
Right.
How did you find the doctor that finally got to it?
Well, I believe he was going to a local chiropractor who recognized that there was something wrong with his brain.
So what was next then, after that?
Then he sent him to this doctor who checked him out and said, absolutely, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. And we went from there and they did tests and they found out that he definitely injured his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started to receive treatment. He's also being treated by a headache specialist in Marin for the chronic headaches,
mm-hmm.
which were really debilitating. And this whole time he wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And we started slowly using up whatever we had in the savings. And then we went to the money we had in there from refinancing.
So you were in your home already?
We were in our mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. But we were using everything we had, and mm-hmm. there was no income.
Mm-hmm.
So this kept going on, and it took a long time. He had to attend classes to retrain the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same classes that Alzheimer's patients go to also,
mm-hmm.
where you have to carry pads of paper around the house and post-it notes.
Oh, yes.
So you know why you went in the other room.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he had to start to go back to work because he made the money for our family.
Yes.
Well... In doing that, he lost a lot of clients.
Because time had gone by and they fit.
Because they thought he was stupid.
Oh, my good. By the way, may I interrupt?
Yes.
It happens that Carson is our handyman, and we just got lucky that somebody introduced him to us mm-hmm. when we had a water heater problem,
mm-hmm.
and There is nothing this man can't fix or install or make better.
Right.
I'm so surprised. I did not know this about him.
It was, we used to get phone calls and letters and...
Oh, he's so good, and he's got such a sense
of
style.
And he's such a nice person.
And this is in the Sonoma area, yeah, for anybody who may be listening and need a wonderful handyman.
Thank you.
Yes.
So this went on for quite a while, and it's to this day he's still recovering, and what I mean by that is he still walks around sometimes, and he'll go from room to room, and oh, what did I come in here for again? And we all do that.
Right,
we do. He just does it a little more. Okay. The kids laugh at him now. Because he'll go to the counter or the cupboard for a glass, mm-hmm, and he goes to the wrong cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just watch him and wait and say, Dad.
Okay,
and
good.
And then everybody laughs. But I think that's more of something he's trained himself to do. But so he's getting better, but this went on for a very, very long time. And to this day, we're still working through it. But it put us to the point of... really, there was no money,
mm-hmm,
and all we had was bills, and yes, I was working, but my income is, most of it goes to insurance.
Mm-hmm.
There is some, mm-hmm, money, but we were buried.
What's the work you're doing?
I'm a full inclusion aide. I work for the school district, and I'm a one-on-one aide. So
tell us what that means.
Who might have Down syndrome or autism, I'm placed with them, and I spend the entire day with them. And I help them to figure out how to make better choices, I help them with their work. I show them what they could do to get something done. It's a lot of behavior modifications. And I just help them to become better people in what they're doing every day and to live like the other, mm-hmm, kids. They want to, mm-hmm, be normal. And so that's what my job is.
So that's, just kind of interesting that you were faced pretty much with that same challenge at home.
Yeah.
Getting Carson back into a life where he could
function.
Yes, yes. So what happened? You mentioned something about your mortgage and getting, I think that's important.
Well, how they were talking about the president had come up with a home modification program. Well, we finally...
Why don't you define what that is, if you would?
Okay. This is where they come in and they could possibly reduce part of your principal. They give you...
When you say they, you mean the bank, or the people who hold the mortgage.
Well, this is a government program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they get their money, mm-hmm, but I do know that once they say that you're approved,
mm-hmm,
they can do several different things, which the government gives. They give them the money, so the bank has the authorization to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they reduce your principal. They could give you a lower interest rate. There's all kinds of different things that I hear that they do.
So you applied for this?
I did. At first, Carson was trying to find it, and he couldn't find it, and I was fortunate enough to find somebody who said, here's the right number. I did that. So I applied for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was really, the process was worse than applying for a loan. They ask you for paperwork, and I have to tell you, I probably turned in the same tax returns about 5 times.
Oh.
Because when you send them in, nobody really knows where anything goes.
So they just get misplaced or lost? And
they get misplaced. They say they don't receive them. Even when you're faxing them from their bank,
uh-huh,
to their specific number, they never receive them. They don't receive the paperwork. They tell you that they need more information. They don't call you back.
To put people through this is awful.
I have
just awful
piles and piles of notes just because of all the different people that I spoke to, uh-huh, and nobody knows what's going on. We didn't receive your paperwork. I got really smart, though.
Good.
I started taking everybody's names.
Good, yes.
And then when they'd say that you learn the lingo, well, your document was received on this day. It was scanned into the system this day, and we show it here. Well, you can get on the phone and call the same number again. Get somebody on the phone, and they don't see those documents. So you have to tell them, oh, no, they were received this day. They were scanned into the system this day. And if you look, this is where they are.
And then they find them?
If you got a nice person.
If you've got a nice person, that is so key to getting help. But this speaks very badly that this is a government agency or program that's behaving like this.
Right. And I was denied.
And it treats people like this.
They treat people. There has been some nice people.
Of course.
But for the most part, the people don't know what they're supposed to do on the other end. So it doesn't really help when you call. Because,
mm-hmm,
they give you some kind of an answer that they think they're supposed to give you. And then the other person that you talk to will give you a different answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been denied several times. This is my favorite one. One time I was denied.
denied this assistance?
They say,
is that what you denied?
"We're sorry, you don't qualify. You've been denied."
Uh-huh.
And when I ask why, mm-hmm. "Well, because you had 24 hours to turn in a document."
Oh,
but wait a minute. You never called me to tell me I have 24 hours. It doesn't matter. You've still been denied. So they acknowledged the fact at some point that they never sent me the document, yet they still denied me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
So where do you stand now with all
well,
this?
Well, where I stand now is apparently I've been approved.
Oh, good.
But it's a different program. I have several different people that that have helped us. One of them is the local congressman's office.
Oh, okay. Do you want to say who your local congressman is
Mike Thompson's office mm-hmm. in Napa, mm-hmm. and Cheryl Diem, who works in the office, has been just a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And because of them, I'm sure it's because of them that they've actually taken it to the next step. And the Freddie Mac office in New York has been calling me. Now they're working with me and to help me with my bank, my special bank.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, apparently I've been approved. It was approved, I have to tell you, at the end of February. They were supposed to get me this program. Well,
at the end of February, and now it's just March 1st today.
Well,
you're talking another year.
It was the end. It was the beginning of February. In the middle of February, they told me that I was approved.
Okay.
Okay. So it should have started March 1st.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You want to see some action here.
Right. And so now I was just notified that they have to redo the paperwork because I made my mortgage payment. So now they have to redo everything. And it looks like they pushed it out to April 1st. Well, this is what happens. They continue.
So if you hadn't paid your mortgage, it would have been better?
But see, if you don't pay your mortgage.
Then you don't pay your mortgage.
Then you get in trouble for not paying your mortgage.
Right, different punishment. Uh-huh.
So it's really been nutty, and I can't wait to see what is coming. But apparently we've been approved.
Good. Okay. Yeah. And I wonder how many people are in this predicament. Probably all of them.
A lot.
Yes.
A lot. And I see those things on TV where they say people come to the... Come to the Coliseum and apply.
Right. So they get there in the morning and they're sleeping there and waiting for
it. Doesn't work like that. I mean, you may be able to go in and put some paperwork
in. Okay. Well, what advice would you give?
Oh my goodness. First of all,
I think that would be really helpful. No, and this is for people who are even facing foreclosure.
But if you're facing foreclosure, you better jump on it. And I would also, you have to be really careful about not paying your mortgage because it could really kick you into mm-hmm. having them come in. I've heard some horror stories about that. So be really careful about how far out that you can let yourself go. But if I had to give people advice about this, number one, make sure that your paperwork is thorough.
Mm-hmm.
You keep copies of your paperwork.
And the date you sent them
the
in.
The date you mm-hmm. sent it, who received it, what number you faxed it to, you mailed it to. Don't ever take anybody's word that, mail it to this address. If it's mm-hmm. not Federal Expressed, then you have to have it documented. Follow up and don't wait for them if they say, well, you'll hear from us in 3 weeks. Don't listen to that. Just keep calling.
Okay. Okay.
Keep calling. And if you have no luck and if you've sent them information and you know that something doesn't sound right, I would also get somebody else involved. Like we were so fortunate to get the congressman's office.
Okay. So you've got a congressman who was accessible.
Yes.
And was really working for the people, which is his job after all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. They say that this is most of what they're doing right now. It's helping people with their mortgages.
So in the midst of all this, I know you're a woman of high gratitude.
Oh, yes, I am.
And I could see, I wish this were a television moment so you could see the smile on this beautiful face. So how are you able to feel that at some points, even during this horror of going through this and with Carson's injury?
Now, yes, I'm learning how to do that. And it's a process. But like I was talking to my daughter, my 15-year-old-to-be today, and she has a conflict with a student at school. And she was talking about how awful she is and bossing her around, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, okay, remember what you do. When there's something that somebody's doing and you don't appreciate it, turn and find something that you enjoy. A cloud, a flower, your toenails,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, find it and say, I really like that. And she made me laugh today when she came home. She goes, Mom, she was doing it again to me today, and I walked out and I said, I like that cloud. It's beautiful.
Oh, so she did it loud enough so this
she was
bully
screaming.
Could hear.
Well, yeah, and she, and everybody else walked out and they said, what are you doing? She says, isn't it pretty out here? And
good
she just kept going, and it made her laugh, and I think that's also key.
Yes, laughter.
Laughter is key.
Yes. You know, we've had a man named Alan Klein several times, and his latest book is Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying.
Right. Actually listened to him, and I appreciate it so much.
Isn't he wonderful?
He's wonderful, and it's true. It's true. If you can laugh and if you can find something good, I have to stress this to everybody. If you can find something good out there in the midst of turmoil, and if you're angry at somebody, don't take the anger away. Look at something good. It's okay. You don't have to find something good in them. Find something good wherever
elsewhere.
You are.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. And it makes a difference.
So I want to ask you something about your art, because your art is definitely finding something good and expressing it. When did you start painting?
I started painting when my youngest was 6 months old.
Oh, so not as a child. This is kind of an adult.
No, it's an adult. It was my girlfriend who said, we need a break. Let's take an art class. And we did, and one thing led to another, and the art teacher from that class said, hey, I have a fabulous artist coming this weekend for a workshop. Come. And I went reluctantly, and by the end of the weekend, I was crying.
Really?
I was so passionate about being able to produce art and what it made me feel like.
Uh-huh. Well, I can see in your work, I mean, you gave us that beautiful heart, and there's an intensity in your work. And Michelle just showed me three angels that she's done that are gorgeous. They are so, so powerful. Are they on your website?
You know, these three, the two new ones, two of them aren't yet, but they will be, and one is.
Please tell us your website so people can look at your art.
It's www.michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, silky, S-I-L-K-E-Y.com.
Okay, so your name.
Yes.
And it's Michelle with one L. And I think you'll enjoy looking at this woman's art. And so I can see where that is somehow finding the positive, or at least a positive expression.
Right.
And your colors are just rich and vibrant.
Well, colors, they make me feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And if a color's not right on a painting, I don't need the color wheel. I just need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll tell me if it's right.
Now, in terms of gratitude.
Yes.
Even in the most difficult times, you're gorgeous and healthy.
Thank you.
And you've got a smart, dear, lovable, handsome husband and three gorgeous daughters. Is that something you're always aware of? I mean, that's hard to remember when times are horrible and you're in the midst of some Kafkaesque nightmare.
Right. Right.
That your husband's a cutie pie.
Well, I have to admit, I got sucked in really badly.
To what?
To the drama of initially when we were in such dire straits. And I didn't really have a husband. I had an invalid.
Yes.
And the three little babies to take care of, and trying to find the money. And so, but thank goodness now I realize that there's more to it. There's more to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can find the goodness in it.
Okay, so that's really an important lesson. I mean, just I'm getting something listening to you.
Good.
That even when you're sucked into this misery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, and also we're not required to feel cheerful every minute.
No.
Certainly not.
No. You know what, your emotions
help
you establish that there are good things.
Mm-hmm.
You're just listening to something the other day, and if you don't feel sadness, you won't know what joy is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, and it's okay to feel your feelings. I'm learning that too.
Okay. Was that hard for you?
Yes.
Because
I want to make it better. I'm the mom, and I'm going to make it better, and you can't be down, and you have to be 100%, and what's wrong with me? Well.
And that's your job.
Right. That's my job.
So I'm going to ask you, who would get your love letter today if you were to sit right down right now and write one, which I'm hoping you'll do.
Okay.
Because I already want to write a love letter to two people, but how about you?
My family, my husband and my children, for putting up with everything that I felt like I participated in, and in growing with me through all the bad and the stuff that we went through, and learning how to be this loving family and staying together and being grateful. I mean, to hear my kids say, Mom, you know, I'm really happy that this is happening. I'm really happy that look at that cloud, Mommy, it's shaped like a turtle. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I mean, they're practicing with me, and my husband is hanging in there with us through all this.
And you with him.
Yeah, it's been, and I just want to let them know how much I appreciate
them. So let's talk about what will make this a really great love letter that will go into the treasure box.
All right.
And remember that your children's grandchildren might likely find this someday.
Okay.
And know something really important about their own history and about their great, great grandma, Michelle.
Oh.
I mean, when you think, I think of it like that.
Right.
Because this is really a legacy you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And what better pedigree, I always say, than knowing that you came from a family where there was courage and a real ability to love.
Right.
Let your great-great-grandchildren think, this is where I come from.
Right.
And isn't that a gift?
That's a real gift.
Mm-hmm. So what about the specifics? Because all that you said is really true and important.
Right.
But how are your great-great-grandchildren going to know what in the world you're talking about if you don't really spell it out? I think spelling it out is critical in a good letter.
Right.
In other words, will you write separate letters? That might be a nice project if you have the time.
I think everybody deserves a separate letter.
I do too. Yes, I like that.
Individualize it because I have so many different things to say to each
person. Oh, perfect. That would be the truth.
Right.
Yes, okay. So what would you want to say to Carson?
Oh, boy. I'd want to tell him how proud I am of him for hanging on and doing such an amazing job with what he's been through and trying every minute of every day to keep going and to be the person that he wants to be for us, even though it's a struggle.
Perfect. And what is that person that he wants to be for you?
He wants to be the man, the husband, the love of everybody's lives, the dad that everybody's proud of. He's such a good person that when he goes out to work for people, he wants them to be happy.
Yes.
He wants them to know that he has integrity. And that's really something he's striving
for.
So when you want
to say how proud you are of the kind of dad he wants to be, what do you see him do to be that kind? What does he do with your daughters?
Well, he's actually a little awkward with them.
Okay, but, so that's a nice thing to put because sometimes people are. But even though he's awkward.
Yes, he's awkward, but he loves them so much. He tries to joke, and let me tell you, people, his jokes are not very good.
Okay, you want to say this.
Yes.
You want to say all of this because it makes it a real tribute.
Yes.
I think. Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh,
okay.
I
hope you go when you go home, you put down everything that you love about him.
Uh-huh.
And just write it all down. And whether it's, you know, you remember the time he would come into the kitchen for a glass and he wouldn't know what he was doing there and whatever it is.
Okay.
Whatever it is about his looks that you love.
Right.
About the first time you ever felt the touch of his hand.
Oh.
Anything like that.
Okay.
That's to him.
I don't know if he could handle it. I think he'd cry.
That's okay.
Right.
And you know something? Oh, there's some wonderful instances that I know about from people who have done this with me and in workshops where husbands who were not criers were choking on sobbing because of these love letters and the tenderness of them. There's so much of that. I hope he does. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Why not? Why shouldn't he know the depths of what you feel?
Yeah, he deserves it.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He does. And what about your daughters? You have specific things to say to them about their abilities and talents and beauty.
Oh,
and
I do, and how hard they've worked towards certain things. And just, they're such good kids and compassionate.
So how does that compassion show? Would you have a couple of
examples
of things you remember that they did?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the gift is that you remembered.
Right.
The gift, when people read a love letter, is she noticed this.
Right.
And she remembers this about me.
That makes it much more interesting, I think.
Oh, yes. You're so special, means nothing.
Oh, no,
right.
No, no.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay. And the other thing is, I want to write a love letter to the congressman.
You know
what?
Can
we talk about that?
They deserve a love letter.
Yes. The ones who are good deserve a love letter. The rest of them deserve.
Yeah. They've worked so hard, and I love to say, Cheryl, DM everybody. That woman is awesome.
Okay. I hope you write to her.
Yes.
And to him.
I will.
I actually wrote a love letter to one of mine, and she wrote back and she said, you know, people never, they write when you have, they have something to complain about.
Right.
But I don't get letters like this.
It's so true.
And if, I think that's a better way of making a difference. If you criticize a politician, my own opinion about them is just too low to even go in here on the whole.
Okay. I understand.
And if you criticize them, where do you think that letter goes?
Right.
I think it goes in the wastebasket.
Why would they keep it?
Why would
to
they keep it?
It?
Why would they? Exactly
right.
It's not going to go in their treasure box.
No.
And what do they learn from it? But I think if you write a letter saying, you did this right and you are a hero.
Yeah.
And whatever it is you want to say, that's a better learning mechanism, isn't it?
I agree. We have a little folder for Carson, and whenever somebody sends him a check with a thank you on it, we save it.
Oh, good. Okay, so that's just, there you go. Right. Proof of what I say.
Exactly.
People don't throw away love letters or appreciation. Why should they? It's a wonderful thing to be able to look at if ever you're feeling low and need a reminder.
I agree.
Okay, so you're going to go home and do 5 love letters.
I am.
Wonderful. And the thing about love letters is you don't have to do them all today. It can be like over a period of time.
Okay.
Because if we rush ourselves, we get discouraged, right?
I don't think I could rush this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've got some really good ideas, so I'll make notes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes it could take a couple of days of note making to each person.
Right.
Because love letters is a way of life. Oh, I'm so glad you did this with me.
Thank you,
dear.
It was wonderful for me. I learned a lot today.
Oh, good. And I always do. I always do, too. I thank you for the same. So go visit Michelle's website at www.michelle.com.
Silky.com.
MichelleSilkey.com. And just remember the name Carson Silky for one of the best, cleverest handymen with a wonderful sense of style. I get to do this, right? Because I can say, we can say whatever we want.
Yes.
And he's in the Sonoma area, and he's just a marvel and
thank
a darling.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, dear. And please remember that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion for everyone, for you and the people who get it. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Michelle Silky
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.